Good morning, church. Oh, man, you guys did better than the first service. Maybe it's the time. I don't know. Maybe it's the biscuits and gravy if you were here for that. But that was really encouraging. Can I just do that again? That was really encouraging. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Man, it was even better. I love it. Well, I am so glad to be here at Hoopston. Did you hear that? I've been practicing all night. I stayed up late last night after being with your pastor and Mary and their family at their house. I just want to say again, Pastor David and Mary, thank you so much for your hospitality. We felt really at home at your home last night, and our kids made themselves right at home, throwing their shoes down and rolling around your floor is within 5 minutes of being in your home. Really thankful for your pastor and his heart for you. I hope you know that, and I hope you see that. He loves you dearly, and he wants to help you be the best church you can be here. And so I'm thankful to be here this morning, thankful to know Pastor David and Mary and family. Yeah, that's good. It's really good. This morning, I'm going to do something that maybe isn't so wise for a pastor to do. I'm going to try to preach through a whole book of the Bible. I know, right? Yeah, I know. It's not a great idea. But as I was thinking and praying about where we should go this morning and what kind of the Lord was leading me to, these verses from Philippians came to mind. And as I started looking at what the book of Philippians was, I realized it is the ultimate missionary thank you letter. The ultimate missionary thank you letter. So I was like, what a better way to share about missions than to use the ultimate missionary thank you letter as like my template. Now, I don't know about you, but I get lots of missionary newsletters in the mail. And usually they just like come right in. I like scan them really quickly. And to be quite honest, I get rid of them. But this missionary thank you letter, I mean, it stood the test of time. It's part of our Bible, for goodness sake. So I thought this was a good template for us this morning. So I'm going to start out by reading from Philippians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I will try my best to be as clear and enunciated, there it is, this morning as I can be. But here is Philippians 1, 3 through 7, reading from God's Word. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. Let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you for your word, for how it washes over us. Father, I ask that the word this morning would be nutrient to our bodies, that it would be nutrient to our hearts and our minds, that you would produce in us joy, that you'd produce in us a living work, and that we can be transformed by your word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We are yours in your name. Amen. So Philippians was a book written by Paul, who was a prisoner in Rome. And he wanted to write this book to the church in Philippi because when he was a prisoner in Rome, this church sent him a gift. And it wasn't just any gift. He later in the book calls it a fragrant offering. And so I wonder like exactly what the gift was. If it was some type of food or incense or if it was something like that. Or if it was just so meaningful to him that it truly gave him fragrance, gave him life in his body. And so this is the context for the book of Philippians. And he does five things in the book of Philippians that I want to use as kind of my template this morning. So he does five things. First, he reports on his current circumstances. He encourages the Philippians to stand firm and rejoice. He encourages humility and unity. He commends Timothy and Epaphroditus to the church. And he warns the Philippians against legalist and libertines. Now, I promised the people in the first service that I wasn't going to get political during the last section, so I'll make the same promise to you. I won't go there this morning, but I want to hit every single one of these sections in how I share about some mission things that are going on in our world. First, report on his circumstances. This is the first thing Paul does in his book in Philippians. And so I just want to introduce myself again to you. This is my lovely family. My name is Joshua. My lovely wife, Audrey, is sitting up here in the front row. And then we have our two firecrackers. Emma is 6 years old. She's brilliant, little redhead. And Dallas, I just love this picture so much. It just brings me so much joy. Dallas is our four-year-old. They are just such life. I got to stop looking at that. I'll just not even go anywhere the rest of the morning. When my son was 10 months old, when my daughter was 2 years old, we had been living in Anderson, Indiana, and we decided to follow the call of God on our lives. And so we packed up our things, sold most of our things and packed up a few suitcases and went to Berlin, Germany, where we were serving. There in Berlin, if you were with us for the fundraiser this morning, you heard a little bit of what Audrey was doing. She was helping get women out of sex trafficking and exploitation, working with a ministry called Pink Door, which is an integration program, a safe house and integration program for women coming out of that industry. And so that's why we were in Berlin. My role took us all over Europe. I was working in 16 countries across Europe and the Middle East, working with our young leaders there, doing leadership development and working with the church. And it was a great time for us. Some things happened very quickly in our family when we moved to Germany. First of all, the thing that happened was I got very humbled. Just three months after we had moved to Germany, my two-year-old daughter began correcting my German, which was very humbling, very, very, very humbling. In fact, there was this moment where I was speaking German, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, don't say that. That's not how you say that word. It's not Schwestern, it's Schwester." And I was like, "Oh, no, honey, like, it's Schwestern, like, it is." And I know you can't probably hear exactly what the difference is there. But I'm like, "I am your father. You need to listen to me. Like, I know what's right." And so later that day, I was on my phone. I was like, "You know, I should just look that up." So I looked it up to make sure that I was right. And I was wrong. And so I had to go back to my daughter and say, "I'm so sorry. Like, you're smarter than I am. And I'll never be able to live this down, I'm sure." But they are so wonderful how they adapted to the German culture. My son, if you get the chance to see him, he's a very stout little four-year-old. And even when he was just 13 months old, he rode a scooter across our living room. He's just very with it. He's got a lot of body coordination and balance. So this is my beautiful family. About 3 months ago, we moved back to Anderson, Indiana, where we now work, where I now work with Global Strategy, which is the missions branch for the Church of God around the world. Can you go ahead and go to that next picture for me? And so this is the part where I'm going to go into the second thing that Paul did in his letter to the Philippians. He encouraged the Philippians to stand firm and rejoice. He encouraged the Philippians to stand firm and rejoice. This morning, Hoopstonians, or no, that's not right, corn jerkers. This morning, you corn jerkers, stand firm and rejoice. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Stand firm and rejoice. In the book of Philippians, this word joy is used some 16 times across the book. Now, I don't think that's by accident. I think Paul knew that joy has to be one of our centerpieces as Christ followers. We have this hope, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing in our lives, joy is one of our centerpieces. And I'm here to tell you this morning that as a church of God, we have some pretty amazing things happening around the world that you are connected to that we can rejoice about this morning. So, corn jerkers, rejoice with me, okay? So we have 73 projects that we're a part of in 38 countries. 73 projects in 38 countries. We have healthcare projects. We have social entrepreneurship projects. We have education projects, Christian leadership and development projects. We do evangelism through our projects. We have indigenous mission projects and peace and justice reconciliation projects. We are doing all kinds of good things all around the world, and you, church, here at Hoopston, Illinois, have a part in that work. That's something to be excited about. Something to be excited about. I want to show you another picture. This is a picture of one of the missionaries that you support. These are the Stocksdales. Anybody know these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people? They are from Illinois. That's where they were last serving. The Stocksdales, they are amazing people, and you support them. Thank you so much for your support for the Stocksdales. I got to see them in Orlando last week, and they said, you have to tell the church body that we are rejoicing for these reasons. They said, first of all, our child sponsorship program has begun in Botswana. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but the Stocksdales have only been there a little over a year. Only a little over a year in Botswana. The amount of energy and effort it takes to transform into another culture, to live into another culture, is astronomical. This might be a good illustration. When we go to the grocery store here, when we used to go to the grocery store here before we moved, it would take us about 30 minutes to an hour to get through the store. When we moved to Germany, it took us about four times that amount to get through the grocery store, because every little thing, reading labels or anything else, becomes more complicated because everything was foreign to us. Every can of soup we were picking up, every can of beans, even some of the produce, looked differently because it was a European strand in the grocery store. And so I'm saying all this to say it is a miracle that the Stocksdales are seeing so much happen in their ministries already, because they have had to spend so much energy and effort to get planted in their new home in Botswana. So we are rejoicing that the Children of Promise sponsorship program has begun in Botswana. We're rejoicing that because of this program, their church attendance has doubled, because people want to be a part of that program. Church is something to be rejoicing about. We are also rejoicing that at the Shakeaway location in Botswana, that there is a permanent church building being built there in that location. They've been hoping for this for a long time, and finally there's a church in Kansas that caught the vision of this dream, and they're helping to make that dream a reality, and they're building this permanent church building in that location. I'm also rejoicing with the Stocksdales this morning that their children are calling Botswana home. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids started calling Berlin home, it made me just fill up to overflowing. So I can imagine for the Stocksdales, that is so important and so honoring that their kids have caught that and that their kids are feeling at home. So we rejoice with the Stocksdales for that. They also sent a video to you this morning, a video greeting, so I want to play that real quick to make sure that you hear from them. And we can restart it so they can hear that first part, if you don't mind.
Good morning to you. Duneva! Hey, First Church of God in Hoopston, good morning to you this Sunday morning. We were so thankful to get to see Pastor David and his family this past week in Orlando. It was such a blessing to see our partners in ministry. We hope you have a wonderful worship service this morning. Enjoy your time with Josh. And know that we are so thankful for your continued prayers and support on this journey. Ditseho fatso. Blessings.
Kealeboha.
Kealeboha.
We rejoice with them, right? We rejoice with them. So I actually want to do something with you right now for them. I have my phone out with my video camera, and I would love to record a video greeting for you to send to them later today. Can we do that? Yeah? Are you sure? All right. Because if it's not going to be good, I'm not going to send it. All right? Because I want to encourage the Stocksdales because of the good work that they're doing. So let's do this. Can we all say in unison, corn jerkers say hello? Can we do that? Is that appropriate? I don't know. I've never. Does that sound all right? Yeah. All right. Let's all try it. 1, 2, 3. Corn jerkers say hello. Oh yeah, that's really good. And then I'll get a good wave from everybody right after you say it. Does that sound good? Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right. Here we go. All ready? 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Fantastic. That's great. We are so excited about the work that they're doing. And again, I'm telling you all this so that you can hear what Paul was meaning for the church in Philippi is the same message that you can hear today. Stand firm and rejoice. Stand firm and rejoice. The third thing that Paul does in his letters to the church at Philippi was that he encouraged humility and unity. Go ahead and throw that next picture up there. When I was thinking about this theme of encouraging humility and unity, the phrase that kept coming to mind over and over and over again was, what is it that we can do together that we couldn't do alone? We can do so much more together than we can do alone. I'm going to say it again. We can do so much more together than we can do alone. You have so much a part of everything that the Stocksdales are doing in Botswana and around the region. You also have part in what the Oldhams have done and are doing in Egypt, Europe, and the Middle East. This is Ken and Kelly Oldham and their sons Titus and Zeke and their daughter Grace. They've been serving in Egypt, serving on the Three Worlds team, as Pastor David said earlier. And we're so thankful for the way that they provide unity in our region. As I was talking with them this week, trying to figure out what they wanted to make sure that you knew about, these are the things that they said. They said, make sure you tell them about Dr. Latif. Dr. Latif is the national leader in the church in Egypt. And if you know anything about leadership in that part of the world, you know that leaders build themselves up. They just keep putting themselves on a higher and higher platform. And that's their mantra of leadership, is to just build themselves up. Dr. Latif is on his second and final term as national leader. And instead of doing that, instead of just propping himself up and making his name bigger and making his name greater, he's spending over 50% of his time investing in the next generation of leaders for the church in Egypt. Not only is that something to rejoice about, but it is a huge lesson for us here in the American church and for the church all across the world. You see, Dr. Latif understands that if we don't practice unity, if we don't practice building others up, if we don't practice the idea of bringing up the young people under us, there won't be a church in the next generation. They'll face things that we had to face, and they won't learn from them. I'm here to tell you this morning that the church in Egypt is doing wonderfully. 8 out of the 11 pastors in the Egyptian Church of God are in their doctoral or master's programs. That's something to be rejoicing about. And the Egyptian church, the National Ministries for the Egyptian Church, is funding all of those pastors getting their education. They're investing in the future of the church instead of just propping themselves up. Ken and Kelly also wanted me to make sure that you knew about our church in Syria. We've heard about Syria a lot in the news, how war-torn and devastated that country is. But there are over 200 families involved in active ministry in the Church of God in Syria. You see, and I think about those families. I think about all that they've been through, and we've seen pictures of the horrible disaster, the horrible devastation that's happened because of war there. But these families understand that they can do a lot more together than they could apart or alone. And so they gather together. They get together. Ken and Kelly also wanted me to tell you about the Moroccan church. They just celebrated 4 new baptisms in the Moroccan church. This country where it's illegal to profess the name of Jesus. It is illegal to gather together. But yet, these people are risking everything to gather in the name of Jesus because they realize that they can do more together than they could apart. Put up my next picture, if you don't mind. This is one more thing I wanted to talk about on this topic of unity. This is the Three Worlds Leadership Network. This is a group I worked very closely with, and Ken and Kelly worked very closely with. This past October, we had 85 church leaders between the ages of 18 and 45 come together in Interlaken, Switzerland, from 16 countries representing 29 nationalities. I'm going to say that again. We had 85 church leaders come together between the ages of 18 and 45 from 16 countries representing 29 nationalities. Now, as I'm sitting there in the middle of worship in this gathering, I look around and I got a clear taste of what heaven is going to look like. Now, I don't know about your heaven. I don't know about your image of heaven. If it's all white people or if it's all people who look just like you, but I guarantee you it's not going to be like that. It's going to be more like this, where we are together with people no matter what we look like, no matter what we're shaped like, no matter how much money we have. You see, the Three Worlds Leadership Network, they understand that they can do more together than they could alone. In fact, this gathering is so very, very important for the church in Europe and the Middle East because Christianity has been suffering for years and years and years in Europe and the Middle East. In fact, in Germany, we were just talking about this stat the other night. In Germany, there is less than 4% of committed Christians in the country of Germany. Our churches are struggling, and our leaders, what we saw when we were developing missions in this area, what we saw was that our leaders were struggling. They were so discouraged, and they were so disconnected from one another that they couldn't find any encouragement. And so we were losing leaders left and right. And so we developed this network, this body of young leaders in the church in Europe and the Middle East, so that the church has a fighting chance for the future, because we can do more together than we can alone. And just by bringing these people in the same room together, they started to talk about the ministries they're doing. They started to talk about the people that they work with. They started to resource one another. And out of our hands, out of the hands of the leadership, so much ministry started happening just because we got these people in the same room. Church, we have to be unified. We have to work together. And I think Paul got that. I think we should get that too. The fourth thing that Paul does in the book in Philippians, he commends Timothy and Aphroditus. Try to say Aphroditus 5 times fast. It's really, really hard. I was trying earlier. Don't do that. Timothy and Aphroditus. Now, what you have to understand about Timothy and Aphroditus is that Paul poured everything into these two leaders. He poured all he had into these two leaders. And so when he sent Timothy and Aphroditus to the church in Philippi, he wasn't just sending them and saying, go. He was sending a piece of himself with them. And he was saying to them, I want to be in relationship with you. He wasn't just saying, just go and be along your merry way. No, he was saying, I care about you. I care about you, church. I'm going to send a piece of myself to you. I want you to watch a really quick video that shares a little bit about who we are as Global Strategy, and then I want to talk about a little bit more about Timothy and Aphroditus.
More than two millennia ago, we were given a mission to make disciples of all nations. Sometimes the size of that mission can seem overwhelming until we remember that at its core, the mission is simply to give life the way Jesus did, by shining our light into one life at a time, one community at a time. At Global Strategy, that's our mission today. Not to carry the weight of the world, but to walk alongside the leaders of the local church. Globally, that means creating healthy spaces for life to ignite, shining the light of justice and mercy so leaders can flourish together. Churches can become beacons in their communities, and life itself can glow. Global Strategy, walking alongside the local church globally.
Well, we've adopted this this tagline, walking alongside the local church globally, because I think it informs a lot of what we do. It informs the heartbeat of how we approach missions in the Church of God. We think that it's best when we go somewhere not to be the center of all ministry that happens in that place. We think it's best to go and walk alongside the local leaders who are working there, who know the culture, who know the people, who can truly inform how ministry is to be done. Walk alongside of them, build them up, and let them do the ministry. It's going to be more sustainable that way. It's going to be more equitable that way. It's going to last a lot longer that way. But I want you to hear this morning, this is not just a one-way relationship. Paul, when he sent Timothy and Epaphroditus, was saying, I want relationship with you. Church, I'm here to say this morning, sending your money to your missionaries is a wonderful way to support them. Praying for your missionaries is absolutely essential. But when you have relationship with your ministry, with your missionaries, when you have relationships with the Stocksdales and with the Oldhams and your other missionaries that you support, not only do you give life to them, but you'll find that what they're doing will give life to you here at Hoopston. It will start to inform you. It'll start to help you to think creatively about how you are to be the best church of God here in this city that you can be. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not just a one-way relationship, but it's a relationship that can go both ways. I think Paul got this when he sent Timothy and Epaphroditus. I think he understood that Timothy and Epaphroditus were going to go and they were going to be Paul's voice piece to the church in Philippi. But he also knew that Timothy and Epaphroditus were going to come back to him to inform what he was doing and that he was going to receive a lot more from them. The fifth thing that Paul did in the book of Philippians was that he warned the Philippians against the Judaizers and the antinomians. He said, don't look to the left or the right. He said, don't look to the legalists or the libertines. And I think that this can get a little bit confusing for us because we don't truly understand the complexities of the political situation that was happening here in Paul's time. But what I'm here to say to you this morning, let's not look to the left or right, but let's remember what you have on your back wall, that Jesus is the subject. Let's not forget what the main thing is. And I just want to close this morning by reading a couple verses from Philippians chapter 4. As we don't look to the left or the right, but we look to Jesus. So hear these verses from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, pleasing, commendable, if there is anything excellent or if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you. Church, I want to tell you this morning, I'm so thankful for you, for how you're the church here, for how you have a part in what we're doing around the world. And I hope that these stories this morning have informed a little bit more about how you can be a better church here. I hope it's encouraged you to have relationships with your missionaries. I hope it's encouraged you to think about what the Lord's calling you to do in your neighborhood. Let's pray. Lord, we do rejoice in who you are and what that means for us. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you have a church here in Hoopston that seeks after you and wants to do your will. Father, thank you for the Stocksdales and the Oldhams. We pray for them now. We ask that your Spirit would wash over them and rain upon them today. Father, that they would know that they're not alone, but that you've called us to unity and that we stand with them. God, I'm just so thankful for how your Spirit moves and has been among us. Be praised as we walk alongside your church around the world. In your name, amen.